Amen. I tell you what. Lord's good, ain't he? Been through some stuff the past few months. Some stuff I'll never forget the 2012. I tell you what, when you go through a year and you won't forget that year, you know, you've been through something. But I tell you what, God's going to do some stuff that's going to help us remember 2013. Amen. And Lord's been moving on us and helping us and blessing us and doing some things. I want to sing this song had on my heart tonight. And I love to sing it. I know y'all probably get tired of me singing it, but I enjoy it because of what it says. Lord's going to take care of you, friend.
If God picked up a sparrow that could no longer fly, brushed off his wounds, then watched him soar into the sky. If he's mindful of creation, on this side depend. For I am his child, and I can place all my trust in.
We ought to trust the Lord tonight, y'all.
I can trust Him.
Yeah. I can trust Him tonight. Hallelujah.
Oh, I can trust Jesus. He never once has failed
me.
That's right. Strength in my weakest day, I can trust Jesus. He takes care of me.
Amen.
I have prayed some prayers, thought they never were heard. But I held to God's hand and kept right on trusting in His Word. My plans and God's desires, they don't always agree. But I'll lean on His will, 'cause He always knows what's best for me.
And I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. He never wants that.
Amen.
You can trust Jesus through your storm. And the storm's coming. It's coming for everybody. It's coming for everybody. Amen. Come on up here a minute, Brady. Amen. I appreciate Brother Brady Atkins. He's been my friend for, Lord have mercy, many, many years. You've preached revival over in the church over in Lenore and had some great times over there. Good to see you tonight. Brady's been a friend to me. Amen. And so he can do whatever he wants to get up here. Say something, sing something, whatever you're going to do, bro.
Hey, amen. God bless you,
bro. Amen.
Well, this is my first time of being here. I'll tell you the truth, this is pretty nice. Yeah. Everybody know everybody in here?
Yeah.
Where'd Andy go? Andy and his wife? There they are, back to God. They're back there on the back row. Where's Brother Bill at? He not coming tonight?
Bill? Where is Bill?
Well, dear, you tell him tomorrow he's on my warning list, all right? And I won't see him, and then I'll shoot him when I see him. But anyway, it's good, and I'll tell you, I love your pastor. Like he said, he's been, and I'm going to tell you something. I was thinking about the songs y'all were singing. Who y'all over here? One or two of you. And, Brother Danny, there's been a lot of storms we've weathered.
Come on!
And the God said,
come on, now.
I was thinking about what they're singing there. The disciples, they'd been gone out in the middle of the sea. And, in the fourth watch tonight, that's the time that you think nobody else knows what you're going through.
Right. That's right.
And these times, Brother Daddy, you feel like that nobody else goes through what you're going through.
That's right.
Dear God, you feel isolated and all alone, and nobody knows what is going on inside of you and your thoughts. But I want you to understand that while they were out there in that storm as a raging, now I'm going to tell you something. And guys, they were fishermen. And they was used to them storms. They was raised on that water.
Right.
But it had them scared to death of their life. And they was all alone out there in that water. Pitch black, dark. But they had no idea that while they were in the midst of that storm, that Jesus was already on his way. Amen. He is already on his way. And I want you to remember, when you're in that storm, he's a coming. He's ahead in your way. Amen. You might not feel it, you might not know it, but he's ahead in your way already. And he knows exactly where you're at. And if he knows where you, hey, listen, when he said, come unto me, all you that are laboring heavy laden, he's got to say, for that reason, come unto me. He knows what you have need of. He's already got it ready for you. He just wants you to benefit from the storm. To teach you something. He's standing out there on that water. No sign to say, Lord, if that's you, just can I come to you? Bid me to come to thee. And you think about that. He got out there and I'm going to tell you something. You might criticize for old Simon to sink you, but it took a lot of guts for him to step out on that water. Now I'm going to tell you, I can't swim a lick. And to God, I don't like the water, amen. I hardly ever take a shower. That's why we're sitting by ourselves back there.
Yeah.
And no, I'm just kidding. I take one every day. And, he stepped out on that water. I got to think about that, Brother Danny, one day. That big wave come across, and that wind blew across his face, and that water splashed upon him. And he took his eyes off of God just for a second.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you something. It don't take but a second you looking away from God for you to start down. Yeah. Amen.
Right. Amen.
But just as quick as he started to sink, now you think about that, how long does it take you to sink? Before you blink your eyes, you're underwater. And he said, Lord, it wasn't for his soul, it's for his life. Save me. Now, for him to say that, Jesus had to be an arm's length.
Amen.
Just as quick as he said, Lord, save me, Jesus had a hold of it. That's how fast God can respond to your prayers in the midst of them storms you go through.
Amen,
just like that.
Amen.
He could call you, could, and before you get it out of your mouth, he can help you.
Amen.
And he will help you.
Amen.
I prayed a lot of prayers for your pastor over the years. I know I hadn't seen him in a long time, but I've never quit praying for him. There ain't been a time me and my wife had prayed for him. And his ministry.
Yeah, glory. Praise God, brother.
His family.
Yeah.
And it's a blessing, Brother Dan, to see you going on.
Yes,
amen.
Yeah.
Once in a while, just put your arm around him and say, Pastor, amen. I want you to know I love you and I'm a praying for
that's
you.
Right.
You'll never know how much that'll mean to him.
Yes, Lord.
It'll encourage him to find hell just in my neighbors, buddy.
Amen.
And I bless the Lord. You know, before the truth can get its shoes on alive, doesn't run barefooted all over the county.
Yeah.
And that's the devil's job. You know, he can't do nothing else but tell a lie. He's the father of it, and that's all he can do.
Amen, preacher.
But I'm going to believe the truth. Amen. Because the truth is what sets you free.
Sure.
And I bless his name. I got a song here, but I've got one here in my Bible. I used to keep something, you know. You carry a spare tire with y'all, don't you? Well, God, I carry a spare tire with me in my Bible. You know. And I tell you, I like this old song right here. You know how to play. Well, God, I know you know how to play that piano. You've been tiring it up all night long. I see a guitar laying there and a black one over here. That's nice. That old song, I've never been this homesick before. You ever played that before? How'd you play by looking at a book or by hearing somebody? What's he going to do?
I'm
going to
play for you.
Dear God, you play the guitar. When did you learn to do that?
Way before I met you.
Get out of here. Really?
Yeah.
You see that, Teresa? Well, dear God, that gives me hope. You know, my name's Evans. And I've been on that Atchison diet all my life. But I don't suggest none of you get on that Atchison diet. I've been on it for 56 years and it took that long to look this good. So don't, it's too long to stay on that diet to look this good. You hear me? Some of you kind of looking at me kind of cross-eyed. All right. You know that song.
Go ahead, I'll find you. Go ahead.
Can you believe this, please? That's killed me. I'll tell you the truth.
Where they been?
We was at the Arctola Church, and he wanted me to sing one. Remember that?
Yeah.
And they had a big old baptistry up there, and I sang that song, Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold My Body Down. And Brother Andy, I got in the baptistry, and he didn't know where I was at. And they said, well, that's Brother Brady. Come to see him, and I believe he's left the building. He said, Brother Brady, you in here? And I cut loose singing that song, just stood up in that baptistry. Ain't no grave gonna hold my... That place, you remember that little stuffed town preacher? He jumped off the community table, cut a backflip. He did, right in front of everybody. I'll never forget that one was out there.
Yeah.
There's a light in the window, the table's great splendor. Someone's standing by your window.
Church is the only place you can go like that where you do stuff like that. Unrehearsed, unplanned. And it turns out good. Amen. I love to hear Brother Brady sing. He's always been one of my favorite singers. Amen. All right. Now we're going to switch gears a little bit. We've had some good old-fashioned singing and shouting. And, man, that was great. Jason and Crystal, man, that song, both them songs, was tremendous. We've had fellowship. And we had the old time song there, See the Bright Light Shine. Now we're going to go a little bit different direction. Take your Bible. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 5 just for a minute tonight. And I thought I'd say just a word or two. I didn't have a whole lot on my heart, and now I know why, because we're having all these testimonies and singing, so it won't be long. Ephesians chapter 5. It's getting sweetheart banquet time. It's getting that time of year when we talk about... Alright, so I'm going to talk to the couples here a little bit tonight. And if you're married, or wished you wasn't, or wished you was and you ain't, or glad you are, or glad you ain't, either way, I've got something for you tonight. And we have people in all those categories here tonight. I ain't dumb. I've been pastoring a long time. And I met people that everybody I talked to said, man, I wish the Lord would send me somebody. I wish the Lord would send me somebody. And then talk to married people and say, buddy, I'll tell you what, if I ever get out of this, and I'll never do it. You know what that proves? The flesh is never satisfied. If you don't get your satisfaction from God, you can't be happy. You've got to get it from the Lord. A person can't make you happy. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. You better remember that. Married, single, divorced, separated, whatever. Only Jesus can satisfy. And it's wrong and it's dumb for you to expect your mate to be able to do what only Jesus can do. And it's wrong and it's dumb to expect your husband or your wife to take care of the needs in your life that only the Lord can do. He's the bread that comes down out of heaven. And He's the real one. That's the reason some people ain't happy and satisfied in their life, because they ain't right with the Lord. You get right with the Lord, you'll be happy with what you got. Ephesians chapter number 5. Let's read these very well-known verses of Scripture tonight. I'm just going to comment on a little bit and let you go. It's getting sweetheart banquet time, and I thought I'd say this tonight. Look at verse number 22. Let's get 21. Submitting yourselves one to another. That's all Christians. In the fear of the Lord, of God. Now he begins to deal with couples. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. You say, how far does that go? As unto the Lord. That's how far. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. No woman will be at peace with God and right with the Lord and happy in the Lord as long as she's trying to boss her husband around and control him. Verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. No man can be happy and satisfied and have peace with God if he's not loving his wife like the Bible said to. I heard a lady complain one time. She said, well, it's just not fair. The Bible said we have to obey the man. Really? You think that's not fair? A man has to love his wife enough to die for her. So don't gripe. Amen? That's pretty even. The Lord is not unfair. The Lord is not. Let me say that again, people. The Lord is not unfair. The Lord is fair. Amen? That's right. And so the Lord said here, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Why? Verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men, down just a little bit, Brother Mike, watch me for a minute if you would please, to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. Boy, isn't that the truth, ladies? Don't he nourish and cherish himself? Even as the Lord, the church. That's right. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. That means you don't stay at mama's all the time after you're married. You take care of your wife. And they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, I want to say tonight a few things about this. Just comment just for about maybe 10 minutes or so, 15, and we'll let you out of here. We as Christians have problems in this world. There's not a married couple here tonight that the devil does not have his guns turned on you. I have met people that say, we've been married 20 years, never had a fight. Honest to goodness, I have a hard time believing that. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm saying it's extremely hard for me to believe. I know it's possible. Anything's possible with God. I have met people that say, we've been together 25 years and never had an argument. Honest to goodness, I find that hard to believe. I don't know what your definition of an argument is, but Lord have mercy. That's hard to believe. I'm not saying it's impossible. It can happen. But I'm telling you one thing. It's rare. The devil gets his guns turned on you. I recently married this boy and girl. They've been together for about 3 years. And they had a big, big, fancy wedding. Probably about $20,000 wedding, I'm sure. And I told that girl, you know what I told them? Sitting right over there in my office. They don't go here to church. She got saved when she was young, when I was preaching somewhere at her church. And she always said, when I get married, I want Brother Danny to do it. So I did. They came up here one night. We sat in there and talked. And I said, now listen, you know, the devil's going to be out. And they said, oh yeah, we're such in love and we're planning this and we're planning that. And I'm so in love and we're this and that. I said, now look now, you know, the devil is going to work on you the minute you get married. They said, oh no, but we're such in love. We're so in love. We've been together for 3 years and we're so happy and all of that. They got married about in September. And the other day, she called me on the phone. She said, Brother Danny, he's left me. She said, we're fighting. She said, I can't stand him. She said, I moved back in with Mama. I said, what in the world? I'm not going to tell you all the details, but he went off on a business trip and wound up with a female companion on a business trip. Of course, it was all business. He swears up and down, it's all business. And she said, well, Brother Danny, she said he said that. And I said, well, either way you cut the cake, he ain't got no business going off with a female companion on a business trip. Amen? I'm just old-fashioned enough to believe that if you're married to somebody, you don't take business trips with opposite sex. Amen? You ain't supposed to eat out with the opposite sex if it's business. Say amen right there. Amen. Y'all are worrying me a little bit. One, two, three. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And brother, and anyway, she said he's gone. Well, they separated. You know what I told them over there? I said the same devil that pushes you together before you're married will push you apart after you're married. You know how the devil gets when you before you're married? Can't keep your hands off each other. Oh, I love you. I want to be here. As soon as you get married, you start seeing each other's faults, and the devil starts working on you, driving a wedge in between you, causing trouble, in-laws, kids, money problems, arguing about this, arguing about the house, arguing about money mostly, in-laws, mostly other things. So tonight, I want to say a few things about it tonight. Hope I can be a blessing to you. We as Christians believe that there is no problem too hard for God to solve. Jesus said, with God, nothing shall be impossible. I will say that tonight. As you're in what you feel is an impossible situation, other people have just given up. I've heard other people say, well, the only reason I'm here is because it's the right thing to do. I hate him, he hates me, and we're just staying together because it's right. Well, I appreciate that. That's a good reason, but it's not right to stay together and hate each other. I mean, we're supposed to love each other. We're supposed to make let the Lord be in our home, and the only way you can do it is through the Lord. Now, I want to say a couple things right quick, give you a little pointers, and I'm done. If you're having marriage problems here tonight, you have to make up your mind that you will tolerate no solution but a Bible solution. You're not going to let Oprah, or you're not going to let somebody on TV, or somebody that wrote a book, or somebody tells you it'd be good to separate and go your separate way. You're going to tolerate no solution but a Bible solution. In other words, if I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to go by what that Bible says. Amen? I'm supposed to do what the book says and not what I feel or what I want or what the flesh wants to do, because that'll get you in trouble every time. So two Christian people that are living for God Divorce should not be in our terminology. I mean, like old Bob Jones Sr. said one time, he'd been married about 50 years, and they said, "Dr. Bob, have you ever considered divorce?" He said, "No, not one time. I've never considered divorce." He said, "Murder, many times, but not divorce. I don't believe in it." And that's the way it is. That's the way it is. I mean, sometimes you might get so mad at them, you could wring their neck. But I'll tell you one thing. You ought to tell your mate, "Look, I'm in this relationship. I'm committed to this thing. You're stuck with me. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. And we just as well get to where we can get along and work these things out, because we're going to let God handle our problems and not follow the ways of this world." Say amen right there. There must be a conviction that marriage is meant to be permanent. Now, sometimes when it don't work, you got somebody that wouldn't live with you, then there ain't nothing you can do about it. You can't make somebody love you. You can't make somebody try. You can't make somebody get along. You can't make somebody stay with you. So if you've been through divorce, I'm not condemning you. You know, Lord, you know I ain't going to condemn you. We know how bad that is. And if you couldn't help it, you couldn't help it. And if it wasn't your choice, ain't nothing you can do about it. But if you're in a marriage and you're married, you ought to make up your mind by the grace of God. I am going to let my home be important enough to me to do what God wants me to do. You know, it amazes me that we can take, if our roof is leaking, we'll spend money, several thousand dollars, $5,000, $10,000, have a bunch of men over, tear off that old roof, fix that leak, fix all that stuff, paint that house, and won't spend one day or one dime with our mate saying, "Let's talk, let's work on our problems, let's learn how to get along, let's deal with this thing." Listen, if we put as much time into our mate as we do everything else, we wouldn't have as many separations and divorces as we got going on. There must be no hindrance to answered prayer. Ain't no use praying unless you're willing to do what God said to do anyway. Amen? The Bible said, I don't have an outline tonight, I'm just going to say a couple things. The Bible said not to let the sun go down on your wrath. I was listening to a preacher this week. He was talking about that, and he said, many couples have an argument, or you could say disagreement. Some of you say fight. Some of you say spat. Some of you say we cussed each other out. Some of it might be worse than that. I hope not. But you say, "Brother Danny, he goes in there and sleeps, and I go in there and sleep, and we don't speak for 2 or 3 days. The Bible said, let not the sun go down upon your wrath." In other words, we're not supposed to go to sleep till we make things right with each other. Boy, is this quieter than a turkey farmyard on Thanksgiving Day here. I'm telling you, we're not supposed to let the lights go out until we say, "Look, I know we had a fuss, and let's pray, and let's ask the Lord." Boy, that's a hard thing to do sometimes. I'm telling you, that's a hard thing to do. You say, "You mean I got to get it right the first day we have a fuss?" Yeah! You say, "I'm not apologizing, it's their fault." Now look, I don't know about all this. I've been doing this for 35 years, marriage counseling. I don't claim to know it all, but I have learned a little bit. And here's the way it goes. She says, "I want you here by 4 o'clock, we got to go." Okay, he's there at 10 after. "Honey, I told you I want you here at 4 o'clock. Well, I got behind some slow traffic." The next day, "I need you here by 4 o'clock. We need to..." He's at 20 after. "Where was your day?" "I had to stop at the store." Then she gets mad and says, "Can't you be here on time? Just one time?" And he says, "Why do you always have to make a fuss?" Now whose fault is it? His or her? It's his. It's his. "Where's he at?" "I'm talking with the boys." Lord have mercy, y'all. Is it that bad, huh? We got a problem right in here. Y'all can come. You're sitting close to the altar. Just get on up here. You know, everything's cool here. Jim's got his house under control here. That's right. I don't understand this thing. Okay. We have to be at church at 10 o'clock. You're not there. You're late. Why are you always fussing? Because you're late, retard. Whose fault is it? No matter what I say, it's his fault. Now, here's the truth. Here's the bottom line. You want some marriage counseling? Here it is. You have to give and give and give and give and give and forgive and give and forgive and give and forgive and give and forgive. It's a lot of giving. It can't just go her way. It can't just go the other one's way. There's a lot of women that's just been beat down and beat down and beat down to where they finally just say, there ain't no use in me saying nothing. I'd just rather live miserable than scream and fight all the time. So I'll just keep my mouth shut and let the idiot think he's right all the time and pray God will kill him soon. And so I won't have to do that. You'd be surprised. You might be surprised at the people that live like that. I'm gonna tell you, and God did kill one like that in the Bible, so you men better straighten up and be good to her. But anyway, listen, brother, there's no use going to bed mad. Just make up your mind. Heard about that guy, said he went to bed mad one night, and you can't sleep good. When you go to bed mad, cover over here. She's way over yonder on the big king size bed. They're about as wide as that pew. And she pulled the cover over this way. And you go to bed and have nightmares all night. Can't even sleep good. It's like that guy dreamed he was, him and his wife had a big fight before they went to bed. And he dreamed he was back in Vietnam. And he's going through the weeds and he's pulling out these hand grenades. Pulling, boom! And he'd pull out another hand grenade. Pull, boom! And all that. And all of a sudden he woke up and she was screaming. Ah! She didn't have a curler in her hair. That's what kind of sleep you get when you go to bed mad. Like that guy said, he was real hungry. He went to bed starving to death and he dreamed he ate 150 pound marshmallow. He woke up and his pillar's gone. Listen, brother. Yeah, get it right before you go to bed. Get it right before you go to bed. I know you don't always agree on stuff, but look, say, look, we're going to have to pray. We're going to sleep. You ready to pray? If you ever get, don't you ever. I've even heard people say, no. Do your own praying. I'll do my own praying. When you get to that point, you're headed to divorce court. You're headed to divorce court. As a matter of fact, when you start hollering at each other, you're headed to divorce court. You know, raising your voice. They've done a survey of all these thousands and thousands of couples, and raising your voice is a sure sign you're headed for divorce. Hollering and screaming at each other. When you get to work, you can't sit down and talk something out. It's always a shouting match. You're headed wrong way as a couple. Some of you getting middle aged now. I don't know how old middle age is. It's a little bit older than however you are. It's older than what you are. I used to think middle age was 40. That's young now. Middle age is when you reach over to tie your shoe and you ask yourself, is there anything else I can do while I'm down here? Middle age is when you've been burning the candle at both ends, but instead you're out looking for more wax. Middle age is when your idea of a happy hour is a nap. Middle age is when you take a nap before you have to get ready for bed. Like that one fellow said, he said, after you get 60, everything falls out, falls off, or falls down. He said, gravity finally wins, my whole body moving toward the ground. One fellow said, that's a pretty girl. He said, you better watch them hourglass glass figures because all the sand's going to be in the bottom one of these days. That's right. Amen. That's right. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. Listen, we're living in a time when the devil's got his guns turned on your marriage. He wants to bust up your home so he can ruin them kids. That's what he wants. He wants your kids. Chances of kids going to the devil way bigger after divorce. It's give, 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 give. I'll tell you some good idea. Here's your good idea. Always try to put yourself in the other person's shoes. Now, some people are incapable of seeing anybody's viewpoint but their own. You ever know anybody like that? Now, if you're married to somebody like that, God bless you. I feel sorry for you. Some people are absolutely incapable of seeing another person's point of view. You have got to put yourself in their shoes. You may not agree with it, but you got to say, I understand how come you feel like that. I understand what makes you angry when I do this or I don't do that. You've got to understand, hey, I understand that. I don't agree with it, but I'm telling you, I can see why you feel that way, and that'll help a whole lot.
Yeah.
Not just, you're crazy, you're stupid, you're not like that kind of stuff. Remember when your favorite three words is, I love you? Now your favorite three words are, let's eat out. One lady said, I have to be hateful. That's what she said. I want you to ask yourself a question tonight. I want you, everybody in here that's married, ask yourself this question. Am I doing my mate right? Am I doing them right? Lord, am I doing my wife right, my husband right, in your sight, am I doing them right? Because see, some of you got it backwards. You don't get married to get your needs met. You marry that person so you can meet their needs. And if both of you look at it like that, you can have a good life together. If you look at it like, I'm going to marry you so you can take care of me, or I'm going to marry you so you can... That's the wrong attitude. That's a selfish way to look at it. The Bible, Jesus didn't say, I'm going to go die for the church so they can do stuff for me. He said, I'm going to love that church and be good to that church and give my life for the church to save her and change. And then the church says, I love you, Lord, and I want to please you. That's the way it's supposed to work. Your marriage will never be what it's supposed to be as long as you've got one person who's backslid and twist that scripture. Either one of you can twist that scripture. The woman can say, huh, if you don't do every little thing I say, it's because you don't love me like Christ loved the church. You don't love me like Christ loved the church. You don't. That's a little brat twisting the scriptures to get her way. And the same thing goes for the man. Well, bless God, you the woman. I'm the man. He don't care about none of them other scriptures. Just that one. Lord, he can disobey 100 other verses, but buddy, he believes in that one, don't he? Amazing how them men can pull out them verses that benefit them. Submit yourself, woman. And what about the one that says, be willing to die for? See, it can't work unless both of you get it right with the Lord and do what the Bible says. It can't. It won't, and it can't. I'll say just a couple things and I'm through. I told you I was just going to say a few thoughts. You don't take each other for granted and show each other the same courtesy and respect that you show other people. I was listening to a preacher this week. I'm trying to get some CDs made for everybody at the Sweetheart Banquet, for every couple, because I know I've been pastoring a long time, and I know sometimes these people sitting in church, and just to look at them outwardly, you'd think, my... Boy, that couple's got it made, and they're just barely hanging on. And then one day they're separated, and you say, what in the world happened? And nobody knew how bad things was at home till it's too late. So what I'm going to say is, this guy's on the CD, he said, he come in and said, yeah, you all right, you? Where's my shoes at? Right? And then somebody called him. He said, yeah, hey, brother. How you doing? Well, good, man. Yeah, we had a good... Yeah, praise the Lord. Huh? Yeah, good, man. Good to see you. Yeah, we'll go fishing one day. Come on. He hung up and she said, I wish you'd talk to me like you talk to your friends. It works the other way. The man says, honey, shut up! I got a headache. And then the phone rings. She says, hey, how are you? And laughs and talks on the phone for 15 minutes. See what a bunch of hypocrites we are? I mean, come on, man. If we would treat each other The same respect we show everybody else. I've seen men, I've been pastoring a long time. I've seen men come to church and say, "Boy, don't you look pretty today. Boy, don't you look pretty today. Good to see you, sister." And never tell his wife she looks pretty. You better watch it going around telling everybody one of their pure. Somebody can knock your head off if you ain't careful. Yeah. You tell a redneck the wrong one of these days. But you know what? There's two things you need to do, and it'll solve your marriage problems. And I can save you money that you can spend $250 a session at a marriage counselor. I've been through it backwards and forwards, all the stuff I've been through myself and with hundreds of other people. And I'm going to tell you what will make it work. Don't take each other for granted and treat each other with the same respect you show everybody else. That's all. And you can go to 10 hours of marriage counseling and you ain't going to hear it no better or plainer than what I just told you. Them two things. Don't take each other for granted. Don't so many times we take each other for granted. Our kids, our mamas, our daddies, our church, our pastor. Brady said a while ago, come up once in a while and hug me. He's right. That does me good. You say, "Oh, you know I appreciate you, Brother Danny." I know that. Well, I don't know about some of you. Some of you act like you're mad at me.
Yeah.
And if you are, I hope you ain't. It hurts my feelings. But you shouldn't be. I love you, and I'm trying my best to help you.
Amen.
But a little pat on the back can go a long way.
Amen.
Can go a long way. And sometimes you ought to just hug your wife or hug your husband and say, "You know what? I ain't been perfect, but I love you. And I am committed to this relationship. And I'm here to stay. You ain't getting rid of me." If every time you have an argument, you say, I'm leaving. That's it. Divorce. There's no way you can have a relationship with that kind of talking. They've got to know that you ain't going nowhere. That's what's on my heart tonight. I don't know who it's for. I don't know anybody in here that's having murder. I don't. Honest to the Lord, I don't. I know some, but they ain't here. And I'm going to tell you tonight, whatever you need is, let's put it on this altar tonight, because the devil hates your marriage and he'd do anything in the world. Look, this thing ain't but $20, man. $20 for Olive Garden and a good time of fellowship. And we're going to do stuff like this. I'll show a video. We'll play games. Something like that helps. Just do a little something like that and God will bless you for it. Let's stand, bow our heads for prayer. Amen. Just a little thought here tonight. Just a little thought about our marriage.